hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Jim Daniels. Jim has been had a tremendous career in radio. He has been a radio host out in L.A. for 95.5 KLOS NBC Sports Radio. He has hosted shows for Fox Sports. He's been a program director for CBS Radio in San Diego and for All Pro Broadcasting in Riverside, California. He's hosted the Jim Daniels Show, which airs on 170 stations around the country. And he also does Speaking of Sports, which airs Sunday mornings on about 90 different stations. He's currently contracting out there with KLOS, and we are very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jim, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Jim.
Guys, thanks for having me back. Love being on. You guys have a great thing here, and I love to get in and get to be part of the energy.
Ah, we appreciate you, Jim. So, Jim, we got to get your perspective, right? I mean, we just had former Patriots running back Tony Collins on the show. Want to get the L.A. perspective on what's become a more heated Boston-L.A. rivalry, particularly over the last several months with the Red Sox, Dodgers, and obviously the Patriots and the Rams. What's the feeling out in L.A.?
You know, first of all, when you say the word Boston to anyone that's from here like I am, you kind of cringe a little bit because, God almighty, guys, you know, I'm old enough, as you read my resume there a minute ago, you noticed that, you know, I had to suffer through the Celtics of the 60s as a kid and be disappointed every single year. And, you know, here I am, a grown man, the end of my career. Man, they're doing it to us again, and it's football and it's baseball and, honestly, as an L.A. sports fan, Boston has been wearing us out lately, man. It's tough to get past that and not look at stuff with blinders. Like, I look at the Celtics and the deal they're making, like for Anthony Davis, saying, hey, wait, Pelicans, wait, we're going to make a deal for you. It's like, here comes Boston to punk me again, you know?
Indeed. So, you know, obviously it's been a good run for Boston over LA for a few months. Now, as we go into 19, right, the Dodgers obviously now a big blow with Clayton Kershaw, not knowing how long he's going to be down. But the Dodgers have made back-to-back World Series appearances. Can it be a third in a row, and can they get over the hump this year?
You know, not currently, no, because like you said to start, with Clayton Kershaw a question mark, you know, the Dodgers have had an awful lot of eggs, I won't say all of them, but a lot of them in Kershaw's basket for a long time, and he's sucked it up and he's done the work and he's struggled through the injuries in the back and, you know, all of this stuff. But, you know, man, as a Dodger fan, again, you know, you wake up and you look at the times and it says Kershaw, you know, resting. It's like, it's February. What do you mean it's resting? I mean, come on. This, you know, it's not good. That needs to be addressed. I will tell you this, though. We're breathing a lot easier here in Los Angeles now that the Bryce Harper Derby is over and all of that money is spent by the Phillies and not us. Thank God. Whew, watch the bullet there.
So, yeah, so are you happy to hear that? I was just sort of curious if Dodger fans were happy that you know, obviously we got Manny Machado going, you know, just a little south there in San Diego and the crazy money, you know, the 10 years, $300 million. Were you disappointed? You're happy that, you know, that it wasn't the Dodgers on a 13-year, $330 million deal for Bryce Harper?
That's insane. Ask the Texas Rangers about giving one guy your entire future and all your money and that, and I think they'll tell you a little story. But, I think most Dodger fans are thrilled at the fact that, look at this, he's obviously got lots of fans here. The kid grew up in Las Vegas. He's close to Steve Garvey and their group. You know, they've been very close for many years. So, sure, it's been a natural, they thought, for him to come here. But, you know, that's not what the Dodgers need. The Dodgers need, you know, they need to get Madison Bumgarner away from the Giants or something like that. You know, you need to get somebody in that pitching staff to get over the hump. However, that being said, I look at the past two World Series that you just mentioned, and my guys got to learn how to hit in the clutch. They got to learn. I mean, they had the chance to do it 2 years ago, and they didn't do that. That was Game 7 at home, your park, and nobody showed up. Last year, they got run over by a red-hot Boston Red Sox team. You know, so really, I mean, am I excited about the opportunity to get back to a World Series? Sure I am, and we got lots of great players. but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to address the problem. You lost a guy the caliber of Manny Machado, and shame on Manny for going down there to take all that money. Are you kidding me? You don't go to San Diego to play. You go to San Diego to retire and spend all that money. What's wrong with you, Manny?
True.
You know, how many games are you going to win? You're going to lose 90 games every year. You're going to live in La Jolla, and you're going to lose 100 games every year. No thanks.
Yeah. So, Jim, is there any concern about Dave Roberts and how he managed in the World Series, or is everyone still high on him because he's gotten them there, you know, 2 years in a row?
I have to give you the lurch shudder. I'm not a Dave Roberts guy. I wasn't to begin with. I don't think you give the keys to a Ferrari to a rookie like that. And, you know, he took it in stride, chewing gum like the base-stealing guy that he is, and he mismanaged us, man. I mean, he cost us that first World Series. You know, you're Game 7 at home, and Chavez Ravine and Kershaw wants the ball, and you gave it to who? Come on! No, I'll never forgive him for that. No, ever, ever. There are some people, which are the people, you know, if the Dodgers get eliminated or any team gets eliminated, and the local news camera, they'll put the camera in, oh, you're a Dodger fan, but you lost. What do you think about the team next year? Oh, we'll be back. We'll win next year. That guy likes Dave Roberts.
Bob, questions for Jim?
It's great to speak with you again, Jim. I'll stick with the Dodgers for a bit here. First of all, on a positive and a serious note, what have you heard about Kenley Jansen, his health, and do you think he'll be able to come all the way back this year?
Yeah, gosh, you guys, man, you couldn't have anything more passionate. As I said before, I'm in my 60s. I was born a Dodger fan. You know, Drysdale Koufax was my brother was a Koufax fan when I was a kid, and so I had to go Drysdale. That worked out okay for me. I always was a big D fan. But, you know, what's going on with this team the past few years has been, heartbreaking. And that's not overstating it, I don't think. I mean, come on. How many teams in Major League Baseball history can tell you that they lost two World Series in a row? And it's not just that, but I mean, you know, it's Kenley Jansen. It's the way we lost some of them. I mean, Roberts mismanaging Game 7. Kenley Jansen giving up, you know, home runs. Here's the most dominating guy, I mean, you know, one of the most dominating relievers we've seen in the past 20 years. You know, and he's giving up the bomb at the wrong time. I mean, it's just, I hate to say this about my team, but, you know, Chick Hearn taught me also about tell the truth about your team. And my team has been a big disappointment the last few years. And the way they manage it, the way they treat people, I feel bad for Kenley Jansen, man. Dude, if you're not right, look, you've played baseball, and you've got money, and you've been to the World Series. I mean, are you risking your life in any way to play this game, chasing that World Series ring? If you are, I think that's foolish, too, because at some point, you got to remember what's going on here, what time it is. I mean, again, you've played the game, the highest level, the World Series. You have all the cash. I mean, what? I mean, it's not, that's not important enough. Your health, I mean, that level is not important enough to be risking to go chasing jewels, in my opinion.
And Jim, we keep hearing from the prognosticator, everyone saying that the Dodgers still are the favorite to win the at least the West, if not more. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, they bring in a guy like AJ Pollock, who I, believe it or not, I taught as a kid. So I'll be following his progress pretty closely. But the outfield in general, Jim, I mean, Jock Peterson's been around 5 years, up and down, you know, and you got a guy like Tolles. And, but it's not your knockdown, drag-out, great outfield. And Pollock, again, is susceptible to injury. So there's got to be a little concern there.
Sure, and you let Puig go too. I mean, you had a good run with him. He's a wild card. He's a difficult guy to play, to manage. I get all of that, but he's also a spark plug, and he came through in the playoffs last year. I don't think you've addressed that either. This is not to toot my own horn, but I want to say this about fandom and trying to prognosticate and tell the truth. Last year, at the start of last year's baseball season, I said the Dodgers won't make the playoffs. Everybody, they're going to go back to the World Series. I said, they will miss the playoff before game one. They had to go to a one-game playoff to get in, didn't they? I was
right.
one game off, that extra game playoff from being correct that the World Series champs wouldn't even make the playoffs next year. I'm going to say the same thing this year. This team won't make the playoffs, especially the way they are now. Kershaw on the DL, no replacement for Manny. Just stop it. No way.
Jim, Joe Kelly had a great World Series, and he is a guy that really drove Bob and I nuts. And Bob and I are both Red Sox fans, but, you know, he might have had the best five-game stretch of his time in Boston in that World Series. You happy to have him with the Dodgers now, or are you concerned that they might have bought high on Kelly?
I think you're right. I think Joe had the greatest performance of his life at just the right time, and I got to say that you know, I love the fact that Joe Kelly has come to the team. He's a hometown kid. You know, he grew up and went to high school right here in my hometown of Corona, California, 50 miles from Dodger Stadium. So I know in some ways this has got to be cool for him. I don't know, maybe he was an Angel fan when he was a kid. I don't know. My son was in high school just about a year or so around the same time he was. But, yeah, I think it's great that they've got him. But am I all excited about getting Joe Kelly in my bullpen? No. My bullpen's always strong. My staff is always strong. I love the arms that we've got. You know, Joe Kelly, okay, great, but yeah, you're probably trying to catch lightning in a bottle there, and you know, can he do that again? I hope so, but not hold my breath.
Do you want to switch over and talk a little bit about the Rams? When you go back and you look at the Super Bowl, were you surprised at how well the Patriots defense was able to bottle up the Rams?
No, and you know why? Is because of the mystery of Todd Gurley. Either one of you guys play fantasy football?
Yes.
Okay, over the past couple of years, who would be one of the, I don't know, would you say Todd Gurley is one of the top five guys you'd want on your fantasy football team last couple of years?
Absolutely right. Yes, indeed.
Can someone answer to me, because I'm here in Los Angeles and no one on television or a newspaper or online or any place else can explain it to me, but Todd Gurley apparently was healthy. And Todd Gurley came out of the game and said, I just had a bad game, man. And so they handed the ball off to a guy that was given haircuts in between getting cut by teams this year, who outplayed him behind a pretty good offense. I think the moment was too big to answer your question. I think the moment was too big for Jared Goff a little bit. But, you know, the Rams defense did their job, and they held the Patriots team to a low number, and that's what they're supposed to do. But the big question mark, and again, the disappointment and heartbreaker, if you're a Rams fan, and I'm not, but the heartbreaker for that is you got Todd Gurley, who you think has got to go crazy on these guys or make them go so nuts on defense trying to stop him that just open it up for Goff and he'll be able to do his thing. Gurley's a no-show. What was that?
So, yeah, so that's a great, you know, and we've sort of wondered the same thing here as well, Jim. I mean, and I'm in Atlanta, and Todd Gurley obviously coming from UGA. So I would have expected that the offense ran through him, that he would have gotten the ball, you know, 20 to 25 times in both the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl, but he didn't get the ball hardly at all. And I don't know, I was expecting that maybe you guys had heard something out there that maybe the knee injury he's got, maybe that's a little worse than what they thought, or he was nicked up in some other way. It has to be more than the fact that in the NFC Championship game, he you know, missed a couple of balls and one turned into an interception. So now we've lost complete confidence in Todd Gurley, and we're going to give the ball to C.J. Anderson. Makes no sense.
Have you ever seen such a thing in your life? It was ridiculous.
No.
And you can't get anybody out here to go on record and say anything about it. You know, I mean, C.J. is like the only one who has said anything, and he said, and this has been a month ago or a couple, two, 3 weeks ago, he says, Todd Gurley was healthy during the postseason. Todd Gurley did not have any physical limitations in the postseason. And that's all he would say. But what does that tell you? That he's one of the biggest chokers in NFL history? I mean, what am I supposed to draw from that? I mean,
right.
Again, are you just selling me as Rams fans? Oh, it's okay. Well, he had a bad game. He had a bad game. It was the freaking Super Bowl. I would trade him, fellas. I'm not a Rams fan, so this is not bitter Rams fan. I would trade him, dude. If you stiffed us in the postseason like that, there's no way I want this guy on my team. And oh, by the way, this is the same guy saying about a year and a half ago, man, those baseball players got it made. We're going to have to hold out for more money when our contract comes up.
Ooh.
Look it up. Todd Gurley said that a year and a half ago. We should lock out for better contracts. Oh, really?
So now let's take that as another step. When you look at what Gurley is making, right, you know, a little over 15 a year, right at 15 a year, which compared to Freeman with the Falcons, who was the, you know, at the highest paid running back at the time, was making a little over $8 million, so he's almost making twice that. If you're another team and you see what Todd Gurley had produced at the end of the season, are you giving Le'Veon Bell $16 or $17
million? You know, Le'Veon Bell, as an owner, if I put my fantasy owner's hat back on here, as an owner, Le'Veon Bell scares the hell out of me. Because if I give Le'Veon Bell all that money, you know, if I'm Jim Irsay and I give Le'Veon Bell all that money, if they come down here to Indy, let's win a title, we're going to put you back there with Andrew, we're going to get this done. You know, I'm hyped, I'm into it, I'm all in. And then he pulls up to the hamstring. Oh, you know, I got to get this checked out. Oh, I got to get a second opinion. What if he turns into that guy? This is a guy that didn't want to play football for, how much was it last year? What was the number last year? Was it 14 million?
Yeah,
right.
He refused to play football, his chosen profession, for all this money that he's so talented at. He refused to play the game for $14 million, almost $1 million a game, because that wasn't enough. So, do I want that guy's headache? I mean, do I want that guy who would pull that on the Steelers? I mean, the Steelers are, I would say, a pretty revered franchise. If you're a player and you have any sense of respect for the history of the game and the teams and all that kind of stuff, I mean, sure, you know, if you want to job the Jaguars, go ahead. But, I mean, you don't want to job the Steelers or somebody like that. I mean, honestly, guys, I don't want any part of that guy. He's headcase to me.
So is C.J. Anderson your man with the Rams next season? Is he? Do you stick around and keep him because of what he did?
C.J.'s a free agent, and I hope that somebody gives him a good contract. He really earned it. He had a tough year last year. You know, you guys know, you've been radio guys, man. You've had, especially early in your careers, probably hired, fired, moved around, a bunch of stuff like that. It's tough. It's tough on your family. And that guy wound up in the Super Bowl at the end of the day, and is going to get a contract from somebody, and good for him. But, you know, he's at the end of his career, and that's not what, you know, that's not what they need there. I don't know what the Rams need there. They're paying Todd Gurley so much money, you couldn't trade that guy. I mean, it would be so lopsided, you know, you wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, you normally can't trade star players anyway because you never get good value for it. But this guy's being overpaid now and is the biggest choker we've seen in the NFL in a long time. Who are you going to sell that to?
Bob Morford, Jim?
Yeah, Jim, I might as well cover the other sports with you. The LeBron's Lakers, I call them out there, you know, back here. In the New England area, we're almost happy LeBron's there to take the pressure or the news away from the Ball family, because we just just can't understand how a guy that can shoot 41% from the foul line could be in the NBA. But tell us more about the Lakers. The 30-31 record, Jim, is that where people thought they should be around this time of the year?
Here's another thing, guys. I told you I'm lifelong out here, born and raised. My brother went through a lot of surgeries as a kid, and his companion was the radio. And so Chick Hearn and the Lakers were on in my house all the time.
Yeah.
That's where I learned the game, and I learned the love of the game and the dreaded Celtics and all of that, which has been such a great, I mean, honestly, as a sports fan, it's been such an enriching thing in my life. Like Larry Bird, God, I couldn't even look at that guy in the 80s, you know, because I hated him so much because he was so good. Now that it's over, I can look at him and go, God damn, that guy was good, man. You were good, man. But it's that passion, you know, that we get out of all that. I mean, honestly, I guess that's what we're doing here. But you know, the thing about the Lakers is, like headlines, you know, our own place, NBC, what has been a disastrous season for LeBron and his Los Angeles Lakers. What did any of you people think was going to happen this year?
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you people of my ilk, our ilk, people that write, talk, watch sports, think that LeBron was going to go to Los Angeles with Lonzo Ball and what the hell ever else and take them to the finals? If you did, I've got property and homes and cars I'd like to sell you. But, you know, the thing is, the people want to say, oh, it's a disastrous season for LeBron and the Lakers. What? What's a disaster? I mean, they're at least trying when they should be tanking to try and get a better draft pick. But, I mean, but good for them for not tanking and doing it. And LeBron wants to run his guys and see what he's got. But this is a building process, man. This team was not going to defeat the Warriors in LeBron's first year out here. And for people to say the season is a disaster, they don't know what they're talking about.
And Jim, I might as well end it with hockey. Back here in East Coast, you know, it's heavy duty. New York, Boston, and Wash, everything here, big hockey. You know, we hear about Los Angeles when they have a real good record, real good offense, things like that. Jim, they have one of the lowest win totals out there and just can't score goals. What is the status of hockey in L.A. at this point?
Let me tell you something, fellas. Again, this is the trick about this town. And you know this. I mean, and I can say this. I'm a grown-ass man, and I get this, and I can accept it. Boston is a great sports town, and they're getting all these championships because, you know, the teams and the players and the managers and the fans and all that kind of stuff matter. The mojo matters, and I think it makes that happen. L.A. is not a great sports town. I mean, it's Hollywood. It's the beach. It's, you know, all of that other stuff. But, I mean, it's not a great sports town. And hockey clearly is in the furthest of the back seats of the station wagon in all the sports around here. And these fans are super fair weather. I mean, you know, L.A.'s a melting pot, so whenever your team comes to town, the people from Chicago come out when the Hawks come, you know, how that goes. But for the most part, you know, people, they just don't care. You don't see people driving around L.A. with Kings flags or Ducks flags. However, the Vegas Golden Knights, which is only a 30-minute plane ride or a four-hour car drive away from us, is red hot. You see their gear all over the place. When they come to town, the games sell out. The Vegas Knights are the hot thing out here, even in Los Angeles. They're the hockey thing out here.
Jim, just a couple of more before we let you go, and I want to wrap it up with a couple more questions about the Rams. First of all, as we head into the draft a little over a month from now, talk about what you expect the Rams to do. Where do you think they go, offense or defense?
You know, their defense did such a great job in the Super Bowl, and one of the toughest assignments there is. You've got to be pleased. I'm sure Wade Phillips is. You know, if you're the Rams, you're scratching your head about what happened with offense. I don't want to, you know, it's like the Saints and their fans want to blame that whole debacle down in New Orleans and why they didn't go to a blown call. We have blown calls in sports, and we live with it. When it's your team, you're more angry than when not, but, you know, whatever. You know, what the Rams have got to do is, I mean, they've got a guy, I mean, your number one guy. I mean, obviously, when you say Todd Gurley's number one over Goff, of course he is, right? Or, I mean, he's supposed to be. I mean, your number one guy is a question mark. So where do you go with that? I mean, you know, honestly, I don't know what card to play. I mean, I'm pressed against the wall. You're holding a gun to my head. Offensive lineman. I don't know what you do against our players.
So, yes, to your point about trading superstars and not being, and how difficult all of that is and the money involved and all that sort of stuff. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm from Pittsburgh, Jim. I'm looking to dump Antonio Brown. I'll give you Antonio Brown for Todd Gurley straight up. You taking it?
Man, you know, I'm tempted. I really am. I got wide receivers, but, you know, God, can I get the maybe a draft pick with that? Yeah, I would. I think I would. But Antonio, man, talk about head case. What is that guy? You see the thing he put on Instagram a couple of days ago where he's all out of breath? What was that?
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, as we talked about Le'Veon Bell and now Antonio Brown, those guys can't get run out of town fast enough for me. I can't wait for the new league year to start here on the 13th so that we can dump Antonio Brown just as quickly as possible. You know, it's sort of like that scene in Caddyshack, right? This is the ugliest hat I've ever seen, but it looked good on you, though. So I'd love to trade him to you.
Do you think, is there any chance, here, I'll interview you now, is there any chance that Antonio Brown, is there any chance that AP wants to prove that he can do it without Ben, that he can do it someplace else, you know, the Shaq and Kobe thing, is there a chance that that's what's driving this silliness?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, you know, there's some of that. It depends on what you believe, right? You know, he's certainly pointed the finger at Ben and his leadership style and all those sorts of things. And obviously the Steelers do the right thing and they're going to defend their franchise quarterback. But yeah, I think there's some of that. I think there's some of Juju Smith-Schuster became team MVP. And then like 5 minutes later, Antonio Brown is acting out. I think it's a combination of both of those things. I think he wants to show he can do it wherever. And he's going to, you know, sort of show up the Steelers like, oh, really? He's your team MVP? All right, I'm out. Right? And that's just his mentality. I think that's where he's at. So I would love to accommodate him. I'm looking forward to finding out what uniform he is going to go be in next. And it can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, and two is Le'Veon Bell, just to finish on your Steelers here, is I'm really curious to see where he goes and what happens, you know, how that whole scenario plays out. Like I mentioned the Colts, I think that'd be the most frightening thing for the league if that were to happen, because the way they played defense last year, the way that line protected him, and the hunger that we know that Andrew Luck has, and what we've seen Le'Veon Bell be able to do, that might be scary.
Yeah, you know, can you turn it off and can you turn it on? And what does taking a year off for Le'Veon Bell do? Can you come right back and be at the same level and all of those things? I don't think it's as easy as all of that, at least what he thinks it's going to be. Jim, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you both online and on social media?
Wow, I'm not the biggest social media guy. I'm an older guy, and that stuff is more of a pain in the butt to me. I'm not the biggest. At JD on NBC for Twitter. No, look, honestly, guys, look, I'm at the end of my career, and I can only do the stuff that I want to do. Like NBC has asked, you know, would you stick around and do some maybe some independent contractor stuff for us? I've done the Lake Tahoe American Century thing for years and years, most of the last 18 years. I said, yeah, sure, I'll be Tahoe for you. Just let me know. We'll tweet it out. I do stuff for KLOS in Los Angeles as well as Westwood One and NBC Sports Radio. And it's always a pleasure to be on this show. Right now, though, I got to go get my resume and my tape off to ESPN. I'm going to see if I can get Jason Witten's gig.
Worth a shot.
Hey. Absolutely. You let us know. Great. We'll write the letter of recommendation.
That's what I need, guys. That's what I need.
Jim, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's always a lot of fun when you join the segment. We hope you'll come back and do it again with us real soon.
Bob. Always great to be on with you guys. Thanks for dialing me up, and happy to do it again, man. You let me know.
Take care,
Jim. All the best to you and your family.
See you, fellas.
That is Jim Daniels, and boy, I tell you what, Bob, always so much fun when Jim is a part of it. I love his energy and his enthusiasm. It makes the time with him. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about with everything with respect to what's going on out there in L.A., but when you add his enthusiasm to the mix, it just takes everything over the top. Really love having him as part of the show.
Really fun guy, Chris, and you could almost hear the frustration in his voice. You know, it's not a good time right now for L.A. sports. I mean, yeah, you could talk about the Rams, but, you know, you figure in the Lakers and the Kings and the Dodgers, and college basketball out there is kind of, it is getting that laid-back feeling that there's not much passion, Chris, again. And the whole LeBron thing, I'm not sure how that whole thing's going to work out. We hear a lot of Hollywood stories out there, but they're not positive sports stories. So I can hear Jim, and he's exactly right. It's not one of the better sports towns right now for all the money out there and everything. There's a lot to be desired, and we can hear that from Jim. Jim will tell you what's on his mind and exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about him. But, yeah, you're right, Bob. When you think about what's happening out in LA and the Boston dominance over the last 6 months and where they go from here, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Clayton Kershaw. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Dodgers this year. Can they make it three in a row? I think they're probably, what Jim was talking about a moment ago, they're probably going to struggle early on until we find out how healthy Kershaw is. And then seeing if some of their bats can come alive. But it's going to be a tight race out there in the NL West. Goodness knows, you know, Colorado is going to be no joke. Arizona has always been a thorn in their side. And then we'll see if the Giants can rebound. But I think it's going to be an interesting race to see. And hopefully we get the opportunity to get Jim back on the show shortly after the season gets underway and hear what he's hearing and go from there. But, again, can't thank him enough for his time. Always so much fun.